The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
Our greatest teacher ever, Jesus, taught many foundational principles of discipleship during his famous Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. And then at the beginning of this famous sermon, Jesus listed 8 major characteristics or traits that all believers need to have as part of their lives today. These traits, describe those who will be in the kingdom of God. These traits mirror God's divine nature, and all 8 of them are clearly God's will for us as believers today. Today we're going to address the third beatitude. So go with me to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 5. Matthew 5 verse 5, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." And I have simply entitled this teaching, "Blessed are the meek." This word, meek, has a lot of what I would call cultural baggage today. And so I want us to focus on this word from the biblical sense. Now I want us to begin by looking into this topic by taking a look at the Greek. The word translated as meek is the Greek word paros, P-R-A-U-S. And because it has so many shadows or so many shades of meaning, it is generally not translated with one English word or simply with one English word. What I mean by that is this Greek word has the sense of having a good balance between anger and indifference. It also has the sense of a person having a powerful personality and yet correctly controlling it. It also has the sense of humility. The biblical sense of this word does not describe a person who is passive or easily pushed around. In fact, the main idea behind this word, meek, was quite the opposite. I'm talking about in the biblical sense here. It was used to convey strength under control. And we certainly want to remember, because I know many of you are going to, this is going to flash into your mind real quickly here. And that, of course, that the Bible tells us that God labeled Moses the meekest man alive. You're not going to read it, but that's in Numbers 12 and verse 3. It says that. And as we know, Moses was meek. But that does not mean that he was weak in any way. All you got to do is just read his story. And you find out that there was nothing weak about him. The Greeks even used this word, paros, to refer to domesticated animals. Now what I mean by domesticated animals, I mean animals that were wild and they've been tamed. Because it conveys that idea. The biblical meaning of meek is like a wild, powerful horse that has been trained to do a particular job, whatever the job is, to put a saddle on him and to ride him, to use him to plow the field, to have him do circus acts, or whatever the training is and whatever the job is. And he's no longer a wild animal. So meekness was the trait of a horse that was well-trained, disciplined, and submissive. Its strength had not been lessened or diminished in any way, but rather, on the other hand, it had been heightened, it had been enhanced, and then it was guided into a useful direction as a result of the discipline that was administered by the trainer. I think that gives us a pretty good picture. Strength under control. Now, let's think about how the first two Beatitudes relate to being meek. The first one, of course, was poor in spirit, and the second one, of course, is blessed are those who mourn. And so the first two mainly, primarily involve personal thinking about ourselves and the reaction of mourning to the horrible, terrible effects of sin. The third trait, meekness, also involves how one relates to our fellow man outwardly. In meekness, strength under control. In the biblical Greek, it also infers that being meek manifests itself by showing a willingness to submit and work under proper authority. That involves a willingness for us to control our desires. Or even if it is necessary, it involves the willingness to disregard our own rights and privileges. Now, that's where the rub can, I don't know, something's really itching my nose up here. I don't know what it is. So let me repeat that because of my, thank you. Let me scratch it. Thank you. Whew. Everybody want to scratch their nose all at once now. Okay. So let's go back and restate this and let's get this again. The biblical sense of it involves a willingness for us to control our desires, or even if it is necessary for us to control the desire or to even disregard our own rights and privileges. Now, consider with me for a moment how frequently in our culture, in our society today, do you think this might happen in the life of a typical person who does not know God? It wouldn't happen. It wouldn't happen. And brethren, what I'm getting across here, the truth is, in order for us as believers, for us to become meek, is to trust God. In other words, we can only be meek, that is, we can only be willing to control or even if necessary disregard our desire to have our rights and privileges because we are confident that God will look out for us, that He will protect us, that He will protect us even regarding our reason for being meek, for being meek. In times past in sermons, I've given what I call bullets, just points so that you can get a point across without really explaining a lot about it, just making the statement. The first bullet I have here is being meek before God means we submit to His will and we conform to His word. The second bullet, being meek means being strong, while at the same time we're also humble, gentle, patient, and long-suffering. Brethren, let's understand, God ties the promise that the meek shall inherit the earth with being meek. Strength under control. It is our strength and our absolute knowing witness that God will not allow his meek ones to end up on the short end of the stick. So let's understand. Through these first three Beatitudes, what we notice is the natural carnal man finds no happiness or blessedness, because it starts, blessed are they. It also could be the word happy. But he finds none in being poor in spirit, or in being mourning, or in having meekness. The natural carnal man is not going to have happiness or being feel blessed in any of those, because they're of God. God's promise to us for being poor in spirit and for mourning over sins are not for the carnal man. The carnal man would find little or no reward in mourning over sin nor of being poor in spirit. Now, we've covered those, so we understand more about what they're talking about. So you can put both of those teachings right here and come to this understanding, and we can all agree with that. What I want us to understand here is, in the same way, mankind tends to look negatively at being meek. We associate the person who is meek and mild-mannered as being weak. We just got to go back and look again at Moses and find out that is untrue from a biblical point of view. None of these attitudes make much sense to the unconverted mind. The lifestyle of a person with these attitudes can be a real frustration to most of mankind. And when Jesus spoke this beatitude, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth," he was going against the grain. Now, what I mean is, his words did not harmonize with the common, unconverted people of his time, nor with the influential religious leaders of his day either. I mean, after all, those leaders thought that the only way to inherit the land was to somehow overthrow the Roman government. In their minds, meekness, of course, could never do that. Therefore, in the thinking of the powerful and the elite, the most effective approach was to be aggressive and hard, not meek and trusting. So I go back and I restate to summarize in one way what we're saying here. When Jesus gave all eight of these Beatitudes, now this is just the third one. We'll see the same thing with the rest that follow. But out of these first three Beatitudes, we see that when he's telling these things, when he's telling them, the person is blessed, the person is happy when he is this way. They didn't get that at all. This was so foreign to what the leaders were stating to the people. And you know, the thing is, all too often, too many in our day and age think in a very similar way. They think this is for the weak person. This is not for somebody who needs to be strong and aggressive like I need to be. So I'd like for us to give some more focused attention on exactly what it means to be meek. So first of all, let's notice that meekness is not weakness. Remember Moses. Being a timid person does not indicate meekness. Being fearful does not fit with a meek person. Meekness is not equal to being shy, nor is it manifest in the lack of self-confidence. A person is not meek simply because he is an easygoing person. A person is not meek simply because he does not get easily upset. Meekness is also not simply being nice. I mean, that could simply be purely a matter of temperament. What we need to recognize and what we need to understand and what we need to accept is God has commanded all of us to be meek, not merely nice. Now, I'm not implying we're not to be nice. That's not what I'm implying at all. But I want us to understand there are some thinking along the lines in this world today that is not within the teachings of what Jesus Christ is meaning. Remember that we've already seen that meekness is not simply a natural quality. It is of God. Meekness is a godly quality that cannot be produced by our own efforts alone. It is a fruit of the Spirit of God, and God has called us all, without exception, to manifest the fruit of the Spirit, that is meekness. Since He has called us to have it, then we need recognize and we realize that manifesting it has to be a supernatural work that is done by God in our lives as we cooperate with Him and we submit our lives to Him. Now, to help us further understand meekness, I want us to go to the book of Psalms, Psalm 37. The reason we're going to go there is because it is almost certain that Jesus quoted from Psalm 37 in verse 11 in the Beatitude. Psalm 37, verse 11, "But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." In the Septuagint version of the Bible, the Septuagint is the Greek Old Testament, the words of Psalm 37 and verse 11 are almost identical with Matthew 5 and verse 5. It says, "The meek shall inherit the land." Now, we need to understand the word for land in both the Greek language and in the Hebrew language is often translated as earth. So whenever it says the meek shall inherit the land, it just as easily could have been translated the meek shall inherit the earth. And that's what Jesus was stating. Let's also notice the similarities between here in Psalm 37, between verses 9 and 11. Verse 9, the B part of the verse, it says, "Those that wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." And then the B part of verse 11, "The meek shall inherit the earth." So the meek people are those who wait on the Lord. Therefore we ask, what does waiting on the Lord have to do with meekness? For us to get a clear picture of those who wait on the Lord, that is the meek, then let's remain here in Psalm 37 and let's begin reading in verse 5. So let's go up to verse 5. "Commit your way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday." Oh, I think we read this earlier today, didn't we? Verse 7. "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not yourself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man that brings wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself in any wise to do evil." So here we ask, what are these believers like who, according to verse 11, it says, waiting on the Lord? What are they like? And I mean, in verse 9, it says waiting on the Lord. In verse 11, it says that they are meek. So what are they like? Well, in verse 5, it says they commit their way to the Lord and they trust in Him. Verse 7 says they rest in the Lord and do not fret over others who prosper. And then in verse 8, it says they cease from anger and forsake wrath. So let's try and pull all of this together to help us understand the meek or meekness. I think it should be abundantly clear. Meek people are those who trust God. That would be verse 5 and be the B part of the verse. In other words, they believe He will work for them and support or will justify them when others are opposing them. So we need to realize biblical meekness is rooted in the deep confidence that God is for us and not against us. The next thing that we see, meek people commit their ways to the Lord. That's verse 5, the A part of the verse. Now, the Hebrew word translated as commit, that's to commit yourselves to the Lord. This Hebrew word is galel, it's G-A-L-E-L, and it literally means to roll, R-O-L-L, to roll. The sense of this word is to roll one's burdens over to God. Or as we would probably use our term today, we turn it over to God. Turn the burdens over to God. That's the sense of that word. Commit yourself to the Lord. In other words, we give it all to God. And why would we do that? Well, because after all, He is totally and absolutely greater than we are, and He is the one that we can trust. So we are to roll it onto Him, meaning that we must bring our cares to Him, and He solves the problems. Well, you could come out and say immediately, well, now, wait a minute. I've got all these problems. He has to solve these problems. God always does His part. So we got to ask, am I doing my part? Psalm 55 and verse 22. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain you. He shall never suffice the righteous to be moved. Now here's the thing. This verse is either true or it's not true. Okay, now we all have to look at it and go, well, of course, these words are true. The second thing is we either believe it or we don't believe it. And the next thing is we either live our lives according to this or we don't. So I go back and state, God always does His part. So if we have these problems and we think that we've turned it all over to Him and nothing's happened, where could there possibly be a problem? Well, it goes right back to this beatitude that we're talking about. There really may not be this kind of biblical meekness in our lives. I'm not saying it's not. I'm just asking the question. Let's go back and ask these other things. When we were talking about then, what is the meek like from these verses we've been reading? Those who are meek have learned that God is trustworthy. Therefore, they roll their way, meaning their problems, their health, their relationships, their business, their fears, their frustrations, they roll all of this unto the Lord God. We give it all to God. As the meek, our problem now becomes God's problem, and without a doubt, He is more than able to deal with it. In fact, that's exactly what Peter is saying, what he is inferring, what he is addressing over here in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. This is what he's telling us. Casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. The meek are those that admit they are insufficient to cope with the complexities and the pressures and the obstacles of life, and they trust that God is able and willing to sustain them and guide them and protect them. So it's not all just God's part. Now, obviously, he plays the huge role in all of this. We play a minor part, but our part is still very significant. Because we have to come to the place that we, like I'm just saying here, we have to admit that we know that we are insufficient to cope with all the things that are going on in our lives. And so we give it to him, we roll it to him, because we trust, know, rely upon him, that he is able and he's willing to sustain us and to guide us and to protect us. Do we do that? So what are we seeing about meek? Well, we see that the meek have a kind of steady calm that comes from knowing that God is omnipotent. From knowing that he has our affairs under his control. And it is knowing that he is gracious and knowing that he will work things out for the best. That calm that I'm addressing, that calm about being meek, that calm is there even in the midst of all kinds of turmoil and upheavals, problems, worries, frustration. It's there. Okay, so let's go on. Another thing that we see about meek is they do not fret themselves over the wicked who prosper in their ways. That's what we read back in Psalm 37. Three times in the first eight verses it says, do not fret. It's in verse 1, verse 7, and verse 8. So I think we need to ask, what does the word fret mean? In the Hebrew, the word for fret means to glow, G-L-O-W, to glow, or to grow warm. The sense of the word is to heat up or to be worked up. Verse 8 says, cease from anger. So, by now, our picture of meekness should be becoming clearer. We don't let things stir us up. We don't let these things glow. You know, it's like something getting hot. You know, you got a pan and it's boiling and you're not doing anything to it, and it just keeps heating up and it's glowing, it's getting hotter and warming up and all of that. That's sort of what the word is talking about. What he's saying is those who are meek, they don't do that. They don't get to that place in their life. So based on the closest biblical parallel to this third beatitude, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, and of course the biblical parallel I'm talking about is Psalm 37, verse 11, we see that it must begin by trusting God. Then it commits its way to God in the confidence that he will use his power and his mercy to do good for us. If I had a screen, I'd be showing you points here. I'd be writing them out, because this is like a one, then a two, then a three, or first, and second, and third, or next, next, next. This is what we're seeing here. Then it waits patiently and quietly, patiently waits for the outcome. And then finally, it does not give way to anger and fretfulness or anxiety or worry when faced with any kind of hostilities and setbacks. Are they going to come in our life? Sure they are. Do they come in our lives because we're believers? Of course they do. If we can be shaken, we will be shaken. And if it's because we're lacking meekness, that's a real easy place to shake us up. So what we see from verse 11 out of chapter 37 in Psalm is that meekness consists of a peaceful freedom from fretful, worried anger based on trusting God and rolling all our ways unto God and waiting patiently for Him. And a 1, 2, 3, 4 of just, it would be trust, commit, wait, and do not fret or worry. This word fret would very easily be translated for us today would be the word worry. So let's please understand, meekness begins when we put our trust in God. And then, because we trust Him, we commit our ways to Him. How can we commit our ways to Him if we're not trusting Him? I mean, we can do that with another fellow human being, and what happens in our lives? We become frustrated. We become disappointed because it doesn't happen. The end result doesn't happen the way we want it. But having this beatitude, having this blessedness of being meek in the biblical sense of what Jesus is addressing through all of the scriptures, we see that we begin by putting our trust in Him, and it is a knowing that He's going to do what He says He's do, and therefore we're going to commit ourselves to Him. And then as we do this, we have this deep knowing of our weaknesses and of our own vulnerability to sin. And then there is this total dependence on the grace of God. So, brethren, we all need to realize meekness is a trait, a characteristic that is necessary for every true believer. This is not something that, oh, okay, that's a good point. No. This is life-changing. This is something that, I put it into terms, must be there in the lives of every one of us. And you have to start back with the first beatitude. It has to start there, because then, because we have that one in place, poor in spirit, and not going through it again, and then that leads us into the second one, and we mourn over the sins that we've committed, but we also mourn over the sins of the world. And then this brings us into meekness, that we have this total, absolute confidence and reassurance and trusting in God, knowing that He's going to do what He says He's going to do. And God has made a way for us to become meek. In fact, God's Word tells us that we must put on meekness. Go with me to Colossians 3 and verse 12. Colossians 3 and verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. Put on bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. We're to put them on. Now, in this particular teaching, this particular sermon, I'm not even going through all the ways we do it. I'm just telling you what it looks like. But we're to put it on. Now, I want you to listen to this point that I'm making here. There are 11 references, 11 places in the New Testament where the word meekness is used. Not going through, you can do that. Every one of these 11 places shows us an area of life where we need to be willing to yield our rights for the benefits of others. You You think meekness is all for me, individual basis? No, it's for us. We benefited from it greatly. We're blessed because of it. We're happy because of it. But others are blessed as a result of it because we have this quality in our life. Okay, now from what we've seen, I want us now to begin to conclude our look at meekness by considering the second half of this beatitude. Back in Matthew 5, verse 5, the B part of the verse, it says, For they shall inherit the earth. So an obvious question that we need to consider is this a promise of inheriting the physical planet we call Earth, or is there more? Or is this a reference to something more? Brethren, because we know God's overhaul plan, and I mean the plan, the holy day plan of salvation, we can understand that Jesus was also meaning the future new earth with all of its forever blessings as it is pictured by the last great day. We can understand that the gift of eternal life has to be tied into receiving the blessings of receiving the kingdom of heaven, of inheriting the earth, and of being comforted. They all tie in together. It's all part of the holy day plan of salvation. Jesus could just as easily have said, Matthew 5, verse 5, for they shall inherit the new heaven and earth, meaning its blessings. So, let's notice this. By mourning, we get more than comfort. By being meek, we receive more than just inheriting the earth. All eight of these beatitudes, now we're only through the third one, all eight of them speak of the godly nature of a citizen of the kingdom of God. These eight beatitudes are not a smorgasbord where we can pick and choose the ones we want. It's a total complete package. This is what the kingdom, this is what the citizen of the kingdom of heaven is going to look like. Not one or two or six of them, eight. This is a description of the person who is in the kingdom of God. This is what they're going to look like. The how we manifest these traits now in our lives, in other words, how we make them clear, is going to depend greatly upon the fellowship that we have with Jesus Christ now. Meaning, how in tune are we with Him? In other words, as citizens of the kingdom, Philippians 3 and verse 20, that's where we're called citizens of the kingdom, we have been called to manifest manifest meekness. And the only way this is possible is if we are walking in fellowship with Jesus Christ. All of it that's described in the pages of the Bible. As we walk with God the Father and we walk with Jesus Christ, we will become more and more and more like God the Father and like Jesus Christ. We will agree with Him and we will be in perfect harmony with His way of doing things. We agree with Him, and we will be in perfect harmony with His way of doing things. Now, we got to know what his way of doing things is, first of all, before. Now, we can agree with it. We can have this attitude of David. Psalm 119, verse 128. I perceive all your precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every evil way. Whatever the evil is, I hate it. We don't have to know what all things are evil. We have to have that attitude, have to have that frame of mind. So we find out that we learn that we're doing something, and we learn that it's wrong according to God's way of life. What do we do with it? We repent of it. We stop. We throw it away because we hate that way up front. We already hate it. We didn't know it was wrong. Now we learn it's wrong, so we hate it. We don't do it. But whatever God says is right, that's what I want to do. That's my goal. That's what I'm doing. It has to be this total commitment. And it has to start with trusting him that he knows what he's doing. We will produce the fruit that truly glorifies God. In fact, I want you to notice with me what Jesus said over here in Matthew 5. This is still in the section right around the Beatitudes. Verse 16. I'm going to read this. This is Matthew 5, verse 16. I'm going to read this from the New King James Version. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So what is it saying, guys? What are we seeing here? We are seeing when the world sees a person who is truly meek, God receives glory. When a person in the world sees a person who is truly meek, God receives glory. Please understand, Jesus gave the Sermon on the Mount so that his Father and our Father would receive glory from the way we, as disciples, live our lives. So let me leave a challenge for all of us. Let others see God in us. How? By being meek. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The Aaronic blessing. Let me offer the Aaronic blessing. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. As we come to the end of this teaching today, the blessing that I would ask on every one of us is meekness. God bless each one of you, brother. God bless each one of you.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.